Welcome to Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. We've got a jam-packed show today, and I want to get to, later on in the program, I want to get to the latest Supreme Court decision on allowing Texas to, arrest illegal immigrants and ship them right on off. So we'll get to that here in a bit, but first I want to talk about Donald Trump fighting back on several different fronts all at once, which, honestly, love to see it. All right, first is the Fannie Willis misconduct case. So late yesterday, Trump and the other co-defendants in this bogus Georgia election interference RICO case filed a joint motion asking the judge in the case, this is Judge Scott McAfee, to grant a certification of immediate review of his decision, which, of course, allowed the Fulton County DA Fannie Willis to stay on the case despite clear misconduct. So they're asking for a review of that decision to the Georgia Court of Appeals. Now, remember, Fannie hired her boy toy, Nathan Wade, as a special prosecutor in this case, paid him very handsomely with, you know, just with taxpayer money, and then went on lavish trips with him on continents that she wasn't even sure where she was. Now, the judge very strangely admitted in his order, in his decision, that Fannie's decision to put Nathan Wade, her boy toy, on the case created an appearance of impropriety and an odor of mendacity that lingers in the case, and that, quote, an outsider could reasonably think that she was not exercising her independent professional judgment, totally free of any compromising influences. But his fix for that was, don't throw out the woman in charge. Don't throw out the woman who made those corrupt decisions. Just throw out the boyfriend. So Nathan Wade resigned, and Judge Scott McAfee said, fine. But the Trump team says, not good enough. They argued in their motion, the March 15th order is of exceptionally great importance to this case, substantially impacting defendants' right to due process, true, and the lack of guidance from the appellate courts on key issues and the fact that any errors in the March 15th order could be structural errors that would necessitate retrials. The grant of a certificate of immediate review is both prudent and warranted. And look, if there's no impropriety on behalf of this judge, if everything was on the up and up, if he feels like he made a well thought out, good legal decision, there's no reason to not allow the review from the appellate court. So we'll see what happens there. It's nice to see Donald Trump fighting back against all of this weaponization of the judicial system against him. But another offensive move by Trump amidst all of this ongoing political persecution, he is now suing ABC News and George Stephanopoulos, say that three times fast, after the supposed journalist defamed him live on television by accusing him of being held liable for rape, while also, this is incredible feat here by George Stephanopoulos, accusing Donald Trump of being liable for rape, which he never was, while also managing to shame a survivor of rape, Nancy Mace. This is just incredible here. Watch that moment.
And you've endorsed Donald Trump for president. Mm-hmm. Judges and two separate juries have found him liable for rape and for defaming the victim of that rape. How do you square your endorsement of Donald Trump with the testimony we just saw?
Well, I will tell you, I was raped at the age of 16. And any rape victim will tell you, I've lived for 30 years with an incredible amount of shame over being raped. I didn't come forward because of that judgment and shame that I felt. And it's a shame that you will never feel, George. And I'm not going to sit here on your show and be asked a question meant to shame me about another potential rape victim. I'm not gonna do that.
It's actually not about shaming you. It's a question about Donald Trump.
No, you are shaming me.
You've endorsed Donald Trump for president.
Right.
Donald Trump has been found liable for rape by a jury. Donald Trump has been found liable for defaming the victim of that rape by a jury. It's been affirmed by a judge.
It was not a criminal court case, number one. Number two, I live with shame. And you're asking me a question about my political choices, trying to shame me as a rape victim, and I find it disgusting. And quite frankly, E. Jean Carroll's comments when she did get the judgment, joking about what she was going to buy, it makes it harder for women to come forward when they make a mockery out of rape, when they joke about it.
For women to come forward when they
It makes it harder when
President
other women joke about it, and she's joked about it. I find it offensive. And I also find it offensive that you're trying to shame me with this question.
Like, it's completely demonstrably false. And I believe he ended up saying this blatant falsehood, like 10 times in the program. And I want to explain to you just how demonstrably false this is. Now, I know the mainstream media likes to forget about these details, but in the actual verdict, the court document that was read by the court clerk, she's reading this, okay? The court clerk is reading as to battery. Did Ms. Carroll prove that Mr. Trump raped Ms. Carroll? The jury answered no. It was an actual question that they answered. Not only did they not find him liable for rape, they explicitly said no, there was not enough proof that he did it, okay? Now, this lawsuit filed by Donald Trump alleges that Stephanopoulos' statements are false and were made with actual malice or with a reckless disregard for the truth, given that the defendant knows these statements are patently and demonstrably false. And I just, look, you want proof of actual malice? Because you do, I think you do have to, prove malice. You have to prove that they knew that this was a lie and continued to engage in the lie and the falsehood anyway. So here's a little bit of proof for actual malice and reckless disregard for the truth. Before Donald Trump filed the lawsuit, he gave them an opportunity to retract this statement. He gave ABC the opportunity to retract, but according to court documents, ABC refused to apologize or correct the record because it's all, of course, completely intentional. This is all by design. This is all on purpose. And by the way, all these people who are like, well, actually, he committed sexual assault. He's a sexual assaulter. He committed the crime. Yeah, honestly, I'm just going to be like totally clear. I don't buy that either. Okay, first of all, it wasn't a criminal case and the burden of proof is like way lower in a civil case. Second of all, E. Jean Carroll is batshit crazy. I don't care if that sounds me. I'm like, sorry, not sorry. Maybe that sounds mean or harsh or whatever. But honestly, I think the jury has to be batshit crazy to believe a word that comes out of that woman's mouth. This is the same woman, by the way, who's literally on CNN Live saying people think rape is sexy and told Rachel Maddow, or was it Chris Hayes? I don't know. I always get the two confused. She was going to spend some of the money she was awarded from this case by taking her shopping. Here's some of that.
You don't feel like a victim.
I was not thrown on the ground and ravished, which the word rape carries so many sexual connotations. This was not sexual. It hurt.
But I think most people think of rape it is a violent assault.
Most people think of rape as being sexy. Mm.
Mm-mm. Let's take a short break.
Think of the fantasies.
Mm. No.
We're just going to take a quick break. Talk more on the other side.
Will
You're
you?
Fascinating to talk to.
You've talked about using some of Trump's money that you're about to get to help shore up women's rights. Do you know what that might be, what that might look like?
Yes, Rachel. Yes.
Tell me.
I had such great ideas for all the good I'm going to do with this money. First thing, Rachel.
Women's rights, right?
You and I are going to go shopping. We're going to get completely new wardrobes, new shoes, motorcycle for Crowley, new fishing rod for Robbie. Rachel, what do you want? Penthouse? It's yours,
nothing.
Rachel. Penthouse and France? You want France? You want to go fishing
nope.
in France? No?
Oh. All right. Not. Okay.
That's
no.
A joke.
Do you feel like that's a credible accuser? I'm just saying, I don't. And by the way, as we heard from Donald Trump so many times, her dog or her cat was named Vagina. I believe it was her cat because her dog was named Tits. Does that sound like a credible accuser to you? Look, them's the facts, okay? Does that sound like a credible accuser to you? I'm just saying that doesn't seem like a credible accuser to me, okay? So good on Trump. Sue these networks into oblivion. All they do is lie. That's all they do. Russian collusion. Insurrection. Trump's a rapist. Nick Sandman's a racist. Most secure election of all time. Brett Kavanaugh is a gang rapist. Remember that one? The wholesome Brett Kavanaugh, like big nerd Brett Kavanaugh. They're like, he actually was secretly a gang rapist in college. The COVID vaccine prevents infection and transmission. In fact, that very same Rachel Maddow or Chris Hayes, I don't know, was on screen several years ago claiming that after the CDC had already come out and said, it's like all they do is lie. And they do it with just such arrogance about them. One of the truest things that Donald Trump ever said was calling these networks the enemy of the people. And they just keep proving that over and over again. This seems like a slam dunk case. I hope that it is, because these people, they need to be paying more for the lies that they are spewing, not just about Donald Trump, but about all of us, day in and day out. All right, we got to take a break. And when we come back, I want to bring in my friend, a Texas House rep, who is going to talk to us about the most recent wins here in Texas and what they mean for the rest of the country. We'll be right back. So I want to welcome to the program, his first time on the show, I'm happy to have him, my friend, Texas House Representative Nate Schatzlein, who, I'm going to be honest, we talked last week about coming on to discuss the greatest victory that, like, I think we could have on, you know, battling porn in Texas with Pornhub, which we'll get into. But Nate, just earlier this afternoon, we had the Supreme Court actually give a big ruling for Texas Senate Bill 4, which will allow Texas authorities to arrest immigrants suspected of entering the country illegally. Now, it was a 6-3 decision. We had the usual, you know, dissenters, Jackson, Sotomayor, and then Kagan dissented separately, but still dissented. So it was 6-3, which honestly, that's fine. Okay. This is while the pending lawsuit plays out in a lower court federally. But what say you on this win for defending our border here in the state of Texas?
To be on the show, I'm incredibly honored to be with y'all. Look, at the end of the day, we have the greatest attorney general in the history of Texas, and that is Ken Paxton, who is fighting for us at every level. And this is just yet another victory to add to the notch of successes that he's had. And so it was absolutely beautiful to see that the Supreme Court, many of them, did the right thing. They stood for what they should have stood with, which is the fact that Texas absolutely has the right to defend its own borders, especially when we are under the invasion that we're in. And frankly, Sarah, this is way too late in the game. We should have been doing this 2 years ago, 4 years ago. And at the end of the day, better late than never. It's not the strongest border bill we could have gotten. That was HB 20, which was killed by our speaker, Dade Phelan, who upheld a point of order, which killed off our ability to have the Border Protection Unit mobilized. But we got SB 4 across the finish line, making it a state jail felony to enter illegally in the state of Texas. And we're counting our victories on this. So massive victory for our state today.
I'm so glad that you gave credit to Attorney General Ken Paxton. And he tweeted out about this today. I still call it tweets. Okay, sue me. He said a huge win.
No, yeah, I can't get over it. It'll never be X. It'll always be Twitter.
Exactly. So he said a huge win. Texas has defeated the Biden administration's and the ACLU's emergency motions at the Supreme Court. Our immigration law, SB4, is now in effect. As always, it's my honor to defend Texas and its sovereignty and to lead us to victory in court. Now, before we get to this other victory, which is, of course, the Pornhub age verification. Does it ever like bother you that some of your colleagues seem to take victory laps on things like this happening because of Ken Paxton being our attorney general, even though they tried to remove him from office? Like, does that bother you at all?
Well, it was an absolute kangaroo court. I mean, we just had an unprecedented weaponization of government inside the Texas House. And, you know, what we saw is only 21 Republicans in the Texas House actually had the courage to stand up for our greatest attorney general against this sham impeachment process where we were given less than 72 hours, which is unprecedented, by the way, and never been done in the history of the state of Texas. And we were also not given real evidence. We were given hearsay by, get this, witnesses that were not sworn in under testimony. Absolutely ridiculous. And now some of our House colleagues have the audacity to take a victory lap and say, oh, look, We got this bill across, strongest border legislation in the history. And I'll tell you what, you know, Texas House members historically are not great at providing strong conservative wins, but they're really good at tooting their own horn. You know, I tweeted out earlier today, at some point, we have got to hold these Republicans accountable for doing victory laps for things that are absolutely ridiculous to celebrate. Of course we banned child gender modification. We have a Republican majority. Of course we did the Save Women's Sports Act. We don't need someone to pat us on the back and say, good job. We should be leading in Texas on these issues. This isn't something that we should be saying, oh, look at us. Good job, Republicans. No, we are a conservative state. We have a conservative grassroots effort that expects these victories. And sooner or later, we're going to have to start holding these Republicans accountable who are taking victory laps on passing a few GOP priorities while passing, get this, Sarah, over 500 Democrat priorities this last session. This is absurd. And so, yes, we should celebrate that SB 4 is being upheld, but we should expect better of our Texas state representatives.
You know, it's funny. So before we get to the other victory here, it's funny that you mentioned that because I had a conversation with one of your colleagues. Now, I'll tell you off air who it was, but you could probably guess. And we were talking about, I said, you know, you always say, oh, this is the most conservative, you know, legislature in ever in the history of the state of Texas. I'm like, yeah, it's not that hard. You banned gender, you know, mutilation. You banned the mutilation of children. Wow, congratulations. Like, that's kind of a, like, hello? Yeah, you should be doing that. And it's like, you don't get to use that as a talking point when this is low-hanging fruit here because the other yes. side has gone so radical that, like, these are, duh, no duh, you know? So, okay, yes. so I'm glad to hear you share my sentiment on that, being that you are a member of the House yourself.
Yes.
So let's get to the Pornhub victory. Okay, so obviously one of the most, if not the most visited pornography platform in the country now has like taken their ball and gone home. They're very upset that the state now has an age verification requirement. And of course, this was argued in court. This was another victory that Ken Paxton argued for the state of Texas and was successful in that now Pornhub. See, the thing is like all they could have done was figured out a way to verify age. But I guess you tell me, Nate, I guess they're like, no, we want to be able to provide sexual content for minors and you won't let us do that. So we're just going to leave the state of Texas. OK, don't threaten me with a good time.
No kidding. You're spot on, Sarah. Like at the end of the day, everything we've assumed about the pornographic industry is true. So we've always known that the children were the target. We see this in our educational materials that are infiltrating our school and sexually indoctrinating our children. We see this as ads are popping up on social media that target children. We see this as they've said it. They're coming after your kids with these all-age drag shows. We're seeing this everywhere. But now to have it on the record that Pornhub, right, the giant of the pornographic industry, which, by the way, the statistics are not on Pornhub's side when it comes to what this company actually does. In fact, 90% of the scenes contain some sort of physical or verbal aggression towards the opposite sex. We see that 97% of time that women are on the receiving end of physical abuse inside of these videos. This is not Pornhub. This is Trafficking Hub. And so the message that they sent to Texans was that, hey, guess what? You can blame your lawmakers. And I happily take that blame for being the reason that Pornhub is leaving, because they said this. They said, if we can't give kids safe porn, then we don't want to be involved at all. In other words, if we can't sexualize children, what's the point of our site? And I love that they said it, because now we're going to hold them to it, that the children were always the target. And now we get to look back and say, hey, guess what? You no longer have access inside the state of Texas. Our law didn't even ban them. Right. It just said they had to require an ID verification to make sure that you were 18 years or older.
Yeah. Now, so I want to share some of their quote that they from their press release, because it kind of struck me when they said, first of all, that, you know, the argument is, oh, well, they're just going to find VPNs around it. Oh, well, there's OK. I mean, like, should we not at least try to make it harder? You're just going to be like, oh, well, I mean, they're going to look at porn anyway, so we might as well just put it right in front of them. That's a dumb argument. But it said Not only will it not actually protect children, but it will also inevitably reduce content creators' ability to post and distribute legal adult content and directly impact their ability to share the artistic messages they want to convey it with. So, Nate, maybe you're just the one that got it wrong, because this is just art. Nate, it's just art that they want to provide to kids.
Well, my favorite argument that they have is that this is a First Amendment right. Yes. And the reality is, sexual abuse is not a First Amendment right. Sexual abuse is not art. And anyone who considers sexual abuse and sexual exploitation art probably needs to be behind prison bars. Mm-hmm. And so this is like a major deal. And what we're seeing is the groomers are getting louder in our culture. The groomers are telling us who they are. And I've been saying this from the beginning. Look, if a groomer tells you he's a groomer, believe him. If a groomer tells you she's a groomer, believe her. Like, they're telling us who they are. They've been in the university systems forever, and now they're coming after our children. And the reality is, this is really just step one in the battle that we have. This is the beginning. And so for everyone, you know, the greatest argument I heard on my post, which I actually loved, was, Nate, this is ridiculous. This isn't going to do anything. Look at the tweets underneath your tweet. There's pornography on Twitter. And I've just simply responded with, great point. Let's go after it next session.
Nate, I appreciate you. And I can't thank you enough for being one of the good guys in the legislature. Thank you for all the good work you do. And come back soon.
Sarah, I so appreciate you. It's always an honor.
Thank you. Talk soon. All right. We got to go to break. We'll be back with our panel. First, I want to thank our sponsor, this segment, Birch Gold. So look, the financial experts, they're like, oh, we're in the clear. Don't worry. We're just going to have like 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year. Yeah, well, then the inflation data came out much higher than expected. You guys are going to be shocked that the experts were wrong. Okay, this is not going away. The U.S. is $34 trillion in the hole, and we're just keep printing money, which pushes the prices you pay every day even higher. So you can either pretend like it's not happening, just like, nothing's going on. I'm looking at my IRA every day and it keeps going down and down and down. Don't worry, nothing's going on. Or you can actually do something about it and think about diversifying a portion of your savings into gold. You can do that with Birch Gold Group. Gold has historically been the best hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold is going to make it very, very easy for you. They can help you convert an existing IRA or a 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. You're not going to pay a penny out of pocket. Don't take my word for it. I'm not a financial expert. Text the word Sarah to 989898. They're going to send you a free, no obligation information kit on gold, and then you can talk to a specialist if it sounds right for you. Okay, so text the word Sarah. There's no H in that. It's just an unnecessary letter. The word Sarah to 989898. I want to welcome to the show. We got the A-team in the house. All right. We've got Blaze TV contributors, both Matthew Marsden, actor and producer extraordinaire, along with Eric July, of course, the founder of Ripaverse Comics. I'm glad you guys are here today.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Here we go.
It's going to be fun. And I want, like, let's just shit on Joe Biden, shall we?
All right.
Why not?
Does that sound good? Okay. So Sunday, NBC reported on this was a meeting that happened in January, okay, between Joe Biden and his allies, where he was informed of his polling situation in both Michigan and Georgia. These are two battleground states, of course, and that his polling was dropping a little bit due to his handling of the Israel-Hamas war, which I personally love. I love that, like, he has his own after him because they've radicalized so many people that now it's coming back to bite him in the ass. I don't hate it. So sources say that he was seething. They said that he began to shout and swear. And I want to play an exchange between Peter Ducey, of course, Fox News' Peter Ducey, and Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor. And Peter Ducey asked him about this report and for some clarity. And this is just a very bizarre exchange on this. Watch.
There's a report that when President Biden was told his handling of the war between Israel and Hamas was starting to affect his poll numbers, the quote is, he began to shout and swear. So when he does that, is he shouting and swearing about Netanyahu or about Hamas or about his poll numbers?
This is the when did you stop beating your spouse question, because I don't think he ever did that. And so, well, you use that as the premise of your question, which is when he does that. I've never seen him do that, shout or swear in response to that. So from my perspective, that particular report is not correct.
So I always thought that it was Karine Jean-Pierre that did like the blinking when she knew she was about to lie. It's not just her. Because if you'll know, he doesn't have eyeshadow on, so you can't see it as well. But he was like,
He's like a puppet. He's like a puppet, like sitting there going, what do I say? I say to this? I don't know. I've got to come up with something.
Yeah.
And he came up with that.
You're thinking that hard. I can see the wheels turning. The wheels are turning that hard, and that's what you come up with.
I'm just really surprised that he understands what a poll is. Anyway, I mean, really? Look, do we really think that Joe Biden is getting mad about anything apart from ice cream or something like that? Like, do you really think that he's in his compass mentis, that he understands what's going on?
No.
I don't.
No. Well, so to your point, this is a hilarious part of this article to me. So apparently, NBC, the report, and Joe Biden both believe he just needs more freedom to be the politician that he's always been, and that, you know, he wants to meet more voters face to face. I'm like, please go in front of more voters. I would love for you to do that, please.
Yeah, that's I don't know if that was like a Republican kind of nudging him there and saying, yeah, go for it. That'll help us out a whole lot. Because, yeah, that would be a terrible idea, especially in his state, because, I mean, we don't see a lot of Joe Biden talking with other people like that, at least not in a coherent manner by any.
Oh, chocolate chip. Not a joke, man.
Yeah, so if he wants to do that, that's not going to look well. But the polling situation is for sure interesting. To your point, there's certain like issues that they believe that just because he's kind of the guy that is going to be the fall guy in that given scenario, that he hasn't handled it in a particular way. But yeah, that is your own base kind of shooting back at you. And they have kind of radicalized not just, of course, the people, if you will, but even members of their party and how they generally approach the situation with Israel. It's been an interesting thing because he's having to really, the party in general is being forced to try to take both sides and talk out of both sides of their mouth. But it does seem that maybe their constituents, or at least their voters, this is a real true issue that they care about. And it really is. They just care about it because they're told to care about it. It's not they really know what the hell is going on with Palestine and Israel, to be fair. But yeah, that for sure is interesting. And look, man, I'm really excited about this election cycle, not because like I'm going to be rallying to vote for anybody, but no.
It drives me nuts, Eric.
I know. That's not why.
It's like that, what is it, that gif with the guy with the popcorn. That's
Exactly. Because it's going to get intriguing. It really is going to be intriguing, because then Joe Biden is going to have to be really forced to defend himself. I'm actually interested in if he'll even actually have a debate with Trump.
I don't think he will.
You don't think he will?
I don't think he will.
No way.
I don't think he will, but honestly, it's part of the reason that I didn't want Trump to make that, oh, I'm not going to debate because I'm so far ahead in the polls. I'm just not going to show
up. Because then they're going to use it on, I can see that.
So now you've walked right into them saying like, well, Trump didn't debate.
Yeah.
Why would we want to?
That's a good point, man.
And I was like, oh, I hate for that to be. Now, they were going to find a reason no matter what. Mm-hmm. So it's not like Trump's fault. I'm just saying like, you know, they're going to use that against him later, and it's going to be annoying to watch.
And I would love to see that. I would love to see it so much for it to just happen.
I know.
But the thing is, you
just never know which Joe Biden is going to show up, because, look, I mean, he's a, I would argue Sarah Gonzalez's words, no one else's, that he's a terrible person. Okay. So I'm not saying that like it was a, the content was good in his State of the Union, but he was awake and he didn't fall.
Well, they probably gave him some drugs.
That's what I'm saying.
So eyeballs.
I don't know, like, if it's the drugged up, like, you know, methamphetamine, whatever the hell they gave him, whatever cocktail they injected into him. If it's that Joe Biden, like, he would at least not fall on his face. But the problem is you just never know which Joe Biden you're going to get.
I think when you're watching Joe Biden, it's like, you know, there's a portion, certainly for Formula One. I don't know if it's the same for NASCAR. There's a portion of people that go there for the crashes. Right? And they're sitting there and they're like, somebody's going to crash. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a big crash. I hate to say that's the way I feel when I watch a Joe Biden speech. I'm looking there and I'm like, when is he going to? Right. And you see what was amazing about that speech, by the way, is watching him Like, firstly, he comes out and he's very robotic, right? He's Roomba, right? He's the Roomba.
Yes.
And he goes out and then he starts, and you could see it like wearing off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Went on and on and on. But I do want to make this other point about the fact that they eat their own, right? They do. Yep. They do because there's no real underlying higher moral order for them. Like they don't have any standards. They don't have anything to go by. And when you have that situation, it ends up, you end up cannibalizing each other. You have to.
Yes.
Right. And so what we have to be very wary of, I think, and on the right and making these statements is that they will come, and we keep saying this, right, on social media, they're going to come for you eventually. It doesn't matter. And they're showing us this, how even on the left, that they will come for you. You might think you're in this you know all about this more than anybody. You might think you're in this little protective bubble for a little while, right? But really you're not at all.
Yeah.
And it's a real false sense of security that they have. It doesn't matter. Like now you look at people like Michael Rappaport, who was, and I think he's a despicable human being. Like every time I look at him, I'm like, why is that man so angry? Like, why is he so full of venom? And he hated Trump until he realized that Trump was for Israel. And all of a sudden he's like, well, you know, thank you.
Yeah.
Now you're realizing that you aren't toeing the line. So they're going to come for you.
Yeah.
And they're splintering off these different groups as they go. Please, Republicans, understand that this is something you can win on, right? Understand that you can unify people by having a coherent message and telling people, look, you don't have to splinter like this. Like we actually have morals and we have objectives that we want to achieve. Mm-hmm. And all they're doing right now, you look at it and can you tell me one thing, just one thing that they stand for right now? Because I couldn't tell you, the left. I don't know what Biden stands for. I don't know what kind of message the Democrats are putting forward. And it would be a massive failure if we cannot exploit this and win.
Right. And I want to just kind of add to that. Like, I don't, and I'm sure you can tell me if you disagree. I don't expect the people who we're talking about in, you know, Minnesota and or Michigan and Georgia, like, I don't expect the people who are mad that he hasn't given a fist bump to Hamas. Like, I'm not saying like those people are going to be like, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump instead, but they could stay home. They might stay home.
Yeah.
So the question will become, do they hate Donald Trump enough to show up and protest vote against him for a guy that they also don't like?
Well, I think Matthew, you bring up such a great point there. And this is where I think that people on the more political right, and by right, I mean not just Republicans. I'm talking about anybody that, that includes libertarians, all that.
Not the crazy ones.
Exactly. Basically, people that are not bat crap. That's really who it is that I'm referring to. They have this. It's always their battle to win. We see this every 2 to 4 years. We see it throughout the year, really, where it's like it's your battle to win. And then they start getting in the way of themselves. Right. You see folks on this side do that. It's so obvious. It's like the left is eating themselves. Mm-hmm. Okay, you let them do that.
Right.
Let them fight. Let them do whatever they need to do. Exploit it if you can.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they drop the ball on this and then they start splintering on the opposite side and start like, because I say it
we've
all the time.
We've already seen it.
Especially,
it's already happening.
Yeah, we've already seen it with the.
It is so annoying. It is so annoying to see that. You think, all right, we have core issues and core values that we all, that we for the most part agree on. Now, maybe I'm the more radical of the bunch. I would be the first one to say that, but at least when it comes to like a set of morals and ethics, we believe in, I hope we believe in like the concept of liberty, right? Okay. So those people there, it's like a train, right? We're all going in the right direction and maybe some get off earlier than others and I'm staying all the way. I want to go all the way as far as we can, but maybe some get off early. At minimum, we should be able to agree that, okay, there is another threat that is far bigger than anything that we pose to each other. So if they're smart, especially going into this election year, people know to put those silly differences aside. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes they like to cannibalize themselves as well. So the Democrats or leftists in general will give you an opening.
Right.
You can go in for the kill, or you can just start attacking your allies.
Never
Which one is it going
to
be?
Never underestimate the ability for the Republicans to screw something up.
Yes.
Is how I feel.
Snatch victory, defeat from the jaws of victory, yes, right? They keep doing it over and over again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you have like what Nikki Haley refused to endorse Donald Trump. Mike Pence is like, I'm not endorsing Donald Trump. Asa Hutchinson is not endorsing, which is like, I guess, a shame for the two voters who were going to vote for Asa Hutchinson. But it's like, A, you guys signed a pledge, so I guess your pledge meant nothing. But also, B, you will never be able to make a believable argument that Donald Trump would be worse than the man that is in office right now.
It's all about pride.
It is.
It's all about pride at the end of the day, because you have to look and say, well, what is the most important thing right now? And I, as you know, and we've had many discussions about this, it is a binary choice. It's either Donald Trump, right, who isn't going to trans your kids, who is going to hopefully close the border. He's going to do all these other things. And then you've got Biden, who's going to do exactly the opposite. I mean, we're seeing what's going on at the border right now. We're seeing the things that they're trying to push. I mean, we're seeing that what they've done to the Jan 6ers. Like, it's very, very clear. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Make your choice. So all this like, well, I'm not going to do it out of principle, it's just utter bullshit.
I know.
It drives me crazy.
I know.
I'm sorry, it's true though, right? Well, don't tell me it's principled that you're going to hand the keys of the kingdom across to this moron.
Right. Right, who's like half dead, doesn't even know what day it is, has to get drugged up in order to make a 45-minute speech. And they're like, yeah, but at least it's not Trump. I just don't buy that argument. And quite honestly, I'm fighting way too hard to make this, like, save this country for my kids. I just don't have the patience for it.
But here's the other thing. If you think, and I've never been like this, right? I've never been a drama queen like this, believe
me. Yeah, right.
Stop it. But the truth is, if you think that Ron DeSantis is going to have a shot in 4 years if it's a Biden president, forget it. It's over. Like, I don't think people understand how bad things are right now. We've got millions and millions and millions of people coming across the border. They're going to let them vote. Don't think that they're not going to let them vote. They're going to cheat even more. Let's say it, mm-hmm. right? There's not going to be a chance. They will let someone like Nikki Haley, because Nikki Haley is an acceptable face of the Uniparty, right? We'll let her in, right? And that's why
they'll be pulling the strings.
And I'm looking, I'm like, nobody likes her. Nobody likes her. She's completely unlikable.
Yeah, they tend to go for that type. Don't
like,
they?
I know who's going to run for president. Someone who nobody likes.
Well, maybe her husband likes her. I don't really know. She did cheat on him, so maybe he doesn't even like her either. All right. Sorry, allegedly. Okay, don't take my word for it. Take the sworn affidavits word for it of multiple men. All right, we've got to take a quick break. We will be back with more. First, I want to thank our sponsor, Preborn. So Preborn is a ministry that I would encourage all of you to partner with, because what Preborn is doing is they are empowering young expectant mothers in crisis to choose life. And how they're doing that is they have this network of clinics that they partner with that are often like right next to Planned Parenthood's. And what these clinics do is they actually tell these women the truth. Okay, when they go to Planned Parenthood, they're being told that's just a clump of cells. That's not really, you know, that's not really a baby. Don't worry, you'll have no regrets if you just take these pills and it'll all be over. They're lying to people. And what Preborn does is that they welcome these women in to see the truth. And they see the truth on the ultrasound and they realize, holy crap, that's a baby in there, and that's my baby. And oftentimes, moms who do this, they see the ultrasound, they hear the heartbeat, it changes them, and they are more likely to choose life for their baby, okay? So let me just tell you this. Preborn centers have counseled over 450,000 women considering abortion, and over 200,000 babies have been saved. These are really, really great numbers, but we can always do more. So if you want to save the babies with me, okay, you can donate $28 for the cost of an ultrasound. That could mean life or death for a baby, all right? Donate securely over at preborn.com/Sarah. That is preborn.com/Sarah. So this next story, I'm not quite sure if we're going to stay on YouTube and how long we're going to stay on YouTube. So if we just poof, get disappeared, don't worry. Make sure to go over to Rumble, and this segment will be on Rumble. So you guys are going to love this, okay? The Office of the Director for National Intelligence, which oversees the, you know, just the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, certain parts of the military, circulated a newsletter to all of these intelligence communities celebrating an intel officer for cross-dressing and claiming that it made him a better officer. So this is an article called "My Gender Identity and Expression Makes Me a Better Intelligence Officer." And it goes on to say, "I am a man who likes to wear women's clothing sometimes." let me go further. "I think my experience as someone who cross-dresses have sharpened the skills I use as an intelligence officer." He says he is now more aware of and hopefully more supportive of my women colleagues because he now knows what it's like for his feet to hurt after wearing heels. Also, he occasionally wears a bra, and that can be uncomfortable. I can't finish.
Man. I there's so many terms that I want to use because, you know, you alluded that we might not be on YouTube, right? So, and this is your show. I respect you so much, Sarah, for knowing you as long as I have. If this was mine,
please,
I'd use a lot of different words to describe whatever the hell that was that I read or that you read. Excuse me. Okay, so first of all, that's illogical. We all know that none of this has anything to do with based on merit. Like, you're not going to do your job better just because you decide to dress like a fruit. I'll say that. Because you decide to dress like that, you're not going to do your job any better. I'm walking a tightrope right now.
We're not just counting down the 3, 2, 1, and we're gone. Go. No.
I just want people to understand how deep this runs, because they thought that this was a good idea to have circulate. It was representative of these institutions that I'm supposed to believe are the upper echelon of this country. They care so much about the American people, and they want to save and serve and protect the American people through various ventures that they have, often spying on other Americans. Has more to do with the job. But just imagine that. I think that's the dangerous part that we're talking about. Not that it's weird, because, I mean, you can pull up probably a Kotaku article or something like that. I was going to say that Jezebel. Didn't they go away? Jezebel? I think they went away recently. You could of some weird stuff. Rolling Stones, they're still around, oddly enough. I'm pretty sure for now. Maybe it'll be over by the time the show's gone. They'll go away. But, no, seriously, you expect that. That's nothing. But these are supposed to be representatives of your government. And they thought that this was good to run. Mm-hmm. It tells you how jacked up things really are. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's great having Eric here because you can look at movies and say the same thing, right? So let's look at something, say the Ripperverse. You're going to have a comic book and you say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make this into a film. And the levels that you have to go through of approval.
Good point. Yep. Mm-hmm.
To go through before you get that movie out, right? So firstly, they've got to convince him that they want to change this character. Then they've got to get a screenwriter that's going to be okay with changing the character to whatever ideology or whatever it is, whatever dysfunction they want to change that character into. And then it has to go, you got to go and convince your distribution and the people that are putting the money behind it that this is a good idea, right? Every step of the way, it's not a good idea, right, at all the way through, but it's been approved all the way through. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is the point that what you're getting to is this guy felt that, number one, it's okay.
Right.
Number two, it's okay to go and tell his bosses that his bosses, who are spies, this isn't something trivial like making a film. I mean, not that I think filmmaking is a very serious business, I have to say, and only very special people do it. Let me just say that. But these people are literally keeping us safe from a nuclear, chemical, biological attack, right?
Or are they? Do you trust that they will question?
I'm thinking right now, I'm very glad that America still has God on its side, right? Else we'd be in a real deep, in a lot of trouble. Let's put it like that. So what are they what is on their mind that they think that they should be doing this? I mean, it's so endemic. Like you said, on all these different levels, it's so wrong. Mm-hmm. When what they should be focusing on is how can we stop? And How can we stop Russia, not that they care, or China, from infiltrating us and hurting us? I mean, that is what they are there for. To your point, that this is, I know we laugh about it because it's absurd, but when that bomb goes off, right?
Right.
There's going to be a lot of people hurt. And right? This is very serious.
Can't save you.
Yeah.
Cross-dressing can't save you.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not going to matter how inclusive our military is.
Nobody
if we get attacked by freaking China.
I mean, have you ever tried to run in hell, Sarah?
Honestly, that's like, it's. I'm laughing about it because I try not to. I'm trying not to be angry.
Bloody heels. I can't run in my heels.
It's so offensive to me that they're like, oh, well, now I understand women more because I wore heels and a bra. Like, how sexist is that to reduce women to like, well, I know you now. I know your experience as a woman because I put on high heels. First of all, I speak as a woman who loves wearing heels, but like, not all women wear high heels, moron. It's so painfully sexist. And I used to remember when we had like the feminist movement who would call this shit out. And now they're like all in on it. And it's just very confusing to me.
What's like Dylan Mulvaney, right? This is the way a woman is.
Right.
I like this.
Right.
I don't know. My wife is not like that.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. You try pushing a baby out of, you know, your vaginal canal with no drugs. I'm just saying, maybe you go try that, Dylan, and get back to me. Okay, cupcake. All right, we got to take a quick break. But I want to remind you guys, if you have not yet checked out the new Blaze Originals documentary with Jason Buttrell on the border, he followed the Take Our Border Back trucker convoy. It's a really, really, really great documentary. I suggest everyone go see it. You can do that by going to therealbordercrisis.com. Use code BORDER to get $30 off your subscriptions for subscribers only. So go to therealbordercrisis.com. All right, Eric said earlier that all these people who are latching on to the, you know, free Gaza campaign are stupid. And I don't know why you would ever say that, Eric. I mean, here's a great example of one of those people. Watch.
You're over here appropriating a space for your own personality.
I'm a journalist.
You're not a journalist.
How do you decide who's a journalist?
I mean, considering I was fired as a journalist, you're no journalist.
Literally, would you rather be itchy or sick your whole life?
You're not doing this for, like, what the actual conversation is, which is getting rid of this country.
Getting rid of this country?
Getting rid of America, getting rid of the West. This is what this is for.
You want to get rid of America?
Yes. Everyone here understands that at some level we need to get rid of America completely.
What should we do?
Decolonization, land back.
Where should we go, though?
In our communities. We need to go leave the capitals, leave the central capitals of commerce, of capital itself.
It's a communist that has no idea what the hell they're talking about, and they're just rattling off a bunch of absolute nonsense.
Can
that's
you even
all that
call
was.
Them like he clearly is he even a communist? Because I don't
know that for sure. Like talking about decolonization,
what
that's
about.
What I'm saying. Well, most modern Marxists don't really communists don't really know what it is that they're talking about. Because yeah, I mean, I get intrigued when you're like, hey, we should get rid of whatever we have. Well, yeah, I mean, I advocate right. that every day. All right, let's explain a little further. And they didn't think beyond that. Yeah. That was it. That was clear.
Well, where do we go?
Colonization.
It's such great. Yeah, I mean, it's like a comedy skit, right? I mean, really. I mean, that's very like, where do we go?
I believe that guy's in capital
of
commerce. Commerce. Oh, shoot.
Capital. Get away from the capital.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.